Save big on your landscaping project now at Menards. We make it easy for you to enhance your outdoor living space with the largest in-stock selection of concrete landscape block, ready to take home today. Build a fire pit or retaining wall with our tumbled Belgian wall blocks. On sale now. Save big on your landscaping project at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. Today on The Grave Talks, Moonshine Music and Ghosts, a conversation with author Tony Brooks. In his new book, Moonshine Music and Ghosts, Tony Brooks invites you on a rollicking adventure through the stories of his life. A world where moonshine flowed like water, dance halls blazed with country rock anthems, and ghostly encounters defied explanation. Because beyond the music of moonshine lies another side of Tony's life, his chilling encounters with the supernatural. From a ghostly woman in an old-fashioned gown wandering his brother's house, to a glowing orb of light in his father's basement, Tony's ghost stories will leave you questioning the boundary between the living and the dead. Join us as we explore a life where the echoes of history and spirits of the past are never far away. Today on The Grave Talks, Moonshine, Music, and Ghosts, a conversation with author Tony Brooks. So, Tony, thank you so much for joining me today. I read your book. It's called Moonshine, Music, and Ghosts. So how did you come up with that title? Once I read the book, I know, but in that order, with moonshine music, then ghosts.
Thank you for having me on your broadcast.
You're so welcome. That. Thank you for joining me today.
And, you know, the order that basically everything started with moonshine, basically with my father and with my uncles and grandfather in Alabama. So that was my starting point. And then in the middle there is music is something that I got into, and that's something that I think comes naturally to me and to my siblings, brother and sister, because my mother wasn't a musician then in the traditional sense. She could play some chords on a guitar, but she used to sing on the radio in Alabama, and as they called her the Alabama sweetheart. So she was always loved music and always had music playing, and we just naturally moved in that direction. And so music was kind of the center point of our life. And then the ghost thing is because that was a kind of a scary thing that happened to me that I still don't understand.
I find that to be kind of the case with most of us. It's like, as much as we would like to understand it, when paranormal things happen, there's no definitive answer. All you're left with is, I know what I experienced. Why, how, all that stuff, I don't know. But I know what happened. And that's sometimes kind of hard to put together in your brain, you know, this is what happened, but why? Why me? And all of those questions are left behind.
Well, that's the way that I felt about this situation when that happened to me, because I was totally flabbergasted. I just didn't have any idea what was going on.
And
it's scary.
It's very scary, actually. In fact, I was just talking about that with someone yesterday about how there are people who run towards it. You know, they go in and do the paranormal investigations and they're looking for it and they're trying to understand it. I am not one of those people. I love talking about it, but I just experiencing it, it always scares me. And I know people who they're like, not really. They've been scared before, but they're willing to go spend the nights at very haunted locations. And I get that. I get that as well, because it's kind of exciting. And
from my point of view, you know, if it's something that just happens to me and it's just something that happens, I don't know what's going on, I don't understand it, that's scary and that scares me. But I always felt like that if I need to step up, something's going on, I would step up to do it, to jump in. But I'm not going to run out there and just start looking for something.
Right. And so many people do. And I don't understand that.
No, they can have my part.
How did you decide to write a book? Because it is kind of just stories from your life.
Yeah. Well, it's because I've told those stories to people over the years in just general conversation. And people ask about certain parts of my life. And most people get very interested in knowing about my arm and how my arm got cut off. And as I kind of joked about it after a few years, because I got so many questions and so many people asking me what happened. Every time I turn around, somebody wants to know, what happened to your arm? How'd your arm? Till I got to a point that I started just telling people, well, I just got tired of it one day and I took a handsaw and it took me a while, but I finally got it sawed off.
Oh my God.
Man.
That's horrible. It's horrible, but it's funny at the same time.
Yeah. But it was just because I've heard it so much. Telling the stories is something that I've done over the years for forever, seems like. And my wife told me and my friends told me, you know, you need to write these stories down because they're unique. Most people don't have these kind of things happen in their life. And yours right. are kind of unique and you should write them down. So I thought, well, maybe I'll try that. And so I just started writing them down and I wound up with this book.
See, I think it's a really good idea for everybody to think about because one of my friends, he just told me out of the blue, he has written a memoir and he's going to be doing some book signings. And I'm like, what a great idea. Then when I was reading your book, it made me think of him and then it made me think of myself. And I was like, you know, I should just write down stories. I think we should all do that. I think number one, it's kind of therapeutic for yourself, but it also gives, you know, you've got something to leave behind and a history. Because so many of us, you know, when we've lost loved ones, you don't have those stories. I think it's a really good idea. And it's kind of like a diary in a way, but it's not your deepest thoughts. It's just, here's what happened. And you've had some very interesting things happen in your life.
Oh, that's a fact I have. But one of the reasons, like it was my wife said, well, the grandkids won't know your stories and that they won't be able to hear those from you. And if you write them down, they will continue on.
Exactly. And I think it's interesting. I don't know that I've ever known anyone whose dad was a moonshiner. So that goes back a couple generations in your family?
Yes, it does. Alabama and the northern part of Alabama is just known for moonshining because those are basically dry states, very religious, Christian type of states where they didn't want alcohol and they call them dry states because mm-hmm. you're not allowed to have alcohol in those states. Or those, not states, but counties in the northern part of Alabama. And so for my grandfather and his father and my brother, my father and his brothers, it was just a natural thing for them to make moonshine and sell it throughout the northern part of Alabama. And that's just, I think, something that's been there generation-wise.
There was one story that made me laugh. It's not paranormal at all, but one day you took some moonshine to school and got the kids drunk at school.
Yep, I did that. That was that day was hilarious. There were tons of things went on, kids getting into trouble with the teachers. A couple of kids, they got jumped a little bit in there with this. They had their pants were hanging up on the sign from the school and just all kinds of stuff going on. And the school cop having trouble with all the kids and the principals and a bunch of kids got kicked out of school because of that. It was just everybody walking around with White Lightning and Pepsi in their drinks.
Which has to, I've never drank moonshine, but it's got to be kind of rot gut stuff.
Well, it's not bad going down, but when it hits your stomach, it kind of reminds you of, like you see the photo of an atomic bomb going off.
And especially in high school, because I do remember drinking in high school. And, you know, you're just kind of stupid about it, too. You end up drinking way too much, way too fast.
Yep.
And next thing you know, half the school's drunk because of you, Tony.
Well, yeah.
Congratulations.
It was, there is no question it was my fault. And going to school, it definitely, walking to school that day with those two bags of pints of White Lightning in them, with just some clothes thrown on all around them and wrapped around them so they wouldn't be clinking and stuff. And then being stopped on the way to school, me and my buddy, with the school cop. And because we just had a reputation of being bad boys there, I guess. And you want to know why we weren't in school. And so we had a late start and had to stand up against the wall. He said, set your stuff down and spread them. He gave us the pat down to see if we had anything on us we shouldn't have. And the whole time I'm sitting there in my head thinking, oh my God, if this guy spots what's in this bags, we are in so much trouble. And he didn't say anything about the bags. Just after he checked us out, he said, all right, get your stuff and get out of here. Get to school.
Which is so funny, because I guess he just assumed those were the books in the bag.
Yeah, because he didn't check them.
Yeah, which would be the first thing you'd really check would be that, I would think.
You would think, but he didn't. He just said, set them down and spread them out. And wow, boy, I was breathing heavy. I thought for sure we're in deep, deep doo-doo now.
So, and it is interesting because as an adult, you have had an interesting life from being a musician, as you can tell by the title of the book, construction, cattle drives, you've just kind of done it all.
Yeah, I kind of dived in. I've led kind of a lot of different lives.
There is where you do get a lot of interesting stories because you have done it all.
Yeah, some of these things are just, they're just funny. I mean, like my friend that I was in doing some cowboying in Idaho with, and that story of you know, we had been talking about Sasquatch over the campfire and stuff and telling about some of the stories that these other guys had run into and different times that they were doing running cattle. And so we had it on our brain when we went to bed, and I'm guessing is why it really shook us up, is when that we go to bed, I'm at one end of the trailer, he's at the other end of the trailer, and the trailer starts shaking like an earthquake or something is going on. And I think the first thing that hit everybody's brain is Sasquatch. So I run out from my end and room, he runs out from his room, and we're what the heck is that? What's going on? What's all the shaking about? And it's just the trailer is just sitting there rocking. And he said, go out and see what it is. And so I was not polite when I told him, no, you go see what it is. And then finally we agreed both to go out, and we kind of had to shove each other out the door to look around and see what's going on. And it turns out that we didn't close the gate properly when we put the horses in for the night. And they got out, and the horse was rubbing his back on that trailer, and it was just rocking that trailer.
Which is funny, because you were convinced you're going to see a Sasquatch out there rocking your trailer.
That's absolutely what I thought it was going to be.
And your buddy as well, because he's like, I ain't going out there.
Yep. No, he was telling me to go out there, and I told him, no, you go out there.
Now, when you were a kid growing up, did you have any paranormal experiences then?
You know, not that I can recall. I don't remember anything particular happening when I was young. The town I was in and the way I grew up, I was all over that town, everywhere there was. It's not like kids are today, but I was everywhere in that town. Nothing that shows up as a paranormal, or what I would classify as a paranormal scenario.
Because what I thought was interesting with the title of the book, Moonshine, Music, and Ghosts, that the experiences you had were so profound that you put ghosts in the title of the book.
Well, those things really did stand out, and I'm still remembering, kind of in my mind, I can still see that lady. And every so often when I have a kind of a light, I guess a nightmare kind of thing, I can see this lady walking down that hall and going into the kitchen.
Well, you want to share that story, because you guys were, you and your brother were working at a nightclub, or were you managing the nightclub and kind of working as a bouncer as well, which is a tough job?
Yeah, no, we were running that nightclub. It was a large nightclub, and it was busy. One of the most popular around, and it was busy as can be on Friday and Saturday nights in particular, because we had music, and we would play, you know, the music would play until about 4 a.m. And so we were busy all the night, running back and forth between bartending. And usually I would do one end, my brother would do the other end. And then we had waitresses that were helping people at the tables, and all different times of the night, you would have different occurrences with men and women arguing and getting into arguments, which is what happens when people tend to drink too much.
Right.
And so we had to deal with a lot of those things going on. So a lot of those times were very difficult to deal with, and they stayed on your mind. And in this one particular occasion that I remember, for the night after we closed up and we stopped, had something to eat, and then headed on in, and I grabbed a shower and I was going to hit the sack. And so I went in, I was really tired. So I think that the best I can remember, I fell asleep, I think pretty almost immediately. And I'm not sure how long I was actually asleep, but I woke up. And when I woke up, and not sure what caused me to wake up, but when I woke up, I was shivering like crazy and I was cold. And the door to the bedroom opened up, and this lady walked through and was standing there. And I looked at her and she was looking at me. So I'm just staring at this lady and she's staring back at me, and I tried to move and I couldn't, and all I could see was this lady, and but unable to move and do anything about it. And she just stood there, and then after a little bit she turned around and walked back out and closed the door behind her. Now I don't know how it works with ghosts being able to move objects, but she definitely opened that door, she definitely closed that door. And as soon as she closed the door, this whatever was keeping me in place stopped and was gone. And I jumped up, ran to the door. And as I opened the door, I could see her at the other end of the hallway, just as she was turning into the kitchen. And I ran down there to the kitchen. And when I turned the corner in the kitchen and looked in there, there was no one there.
When you saw her, did you at first think, I'm seeing things, it's a ghost, or it's an intruder? Because it could be any of those things. It could be my mind's playing tricks on me, it's a ghost or an intruder.
I don't remember thinking anything other than there was a girl there, and I didn't know this girl, lady, and so I just didn't really give it a thought. I just got up to see what was going on, who it was, and what this was all about, because I didn't know.
Yeah, somebody's in my house.
Somebody's there. So, but when I looked, she wasn't in the kitchen. And I went back to my room and I looked around, and, you know, nobody up. And the next morning, when I did get up, I went and laid back down, but it took me a while before I finally fell back asleep. And I told my brother about it and my nephew. I thought they're going to think I'm nuts. But they said that they had seen this lady several times, because of the living room was off to the right from where my bedroom was at. And they were sitting in the living room, and this lady would walk out of my bedroom and walk past them down the hallway into the kitchen. And several times they got up to go check. And when they got to the kitchen, there's nobody there. Then we talked to the owner of the building where we were renting our apartment. And then he told us a story of what had, what had happened. And it was basically that there had been a woman who had been killed. and I don't remember what he said, strangled or killed, however he said it, in my bedroom where I was staying, and that he had evidently just drug her down the hall into the kitchen and dumped her into the kitchen, I guess, that whoever did it, they never caught the person who did it, and that we were not the only people who said that they saw this lady in that apartment, that it had, people who had lived there after that had seen this same lady in the apartment.
See, that's even more validating because it's not just you. Because sometimes it's like, okay, I'm going crazy. I've seen this. Nobody's going to believe me. And then to have people not only believe you, but they've seen it as well. And even outside of your family, that just validates the whole thing. And it kind of sounds like a residual thing where she's kind of recreating that all the time, going from the bedroom to the kitchen, bedroom to the kitchen.
That's what it seems like, because according to that owner of the building, he had lost tenants before because of that. They had seen this lady, and that's scary. I mean, somebody's walking through your house, but yet they're not there, but you see them. So,
and that is an interesting thing, because I guess if it's just happening over and over and people are seeing it, it shouldn't be scary. I just don't know that I could ever get used to that, especially the way the bedroom got so cold right before it happened.
Yep.
It was, and that's probably what woke you up, because you were so cold.
Maybe, but the point being that that's not something I'm going to get used to, because I didn't stay after that. I went most of the time until I got a place on my own away from my brother. I stayed in the, slept in the little office in the bar for a while.
So that was it. It's like, I ain't even going back.
I don't want to go back. I don't want to see this lady again, because it was, you know, it's more than seeing. It's also feeling all of the coldness and the shakiness, because it had me like kind of shaking and cold. I don't know if I was shaking because of the cold, maybe, but it still was real strange experience, and I wouldn't recommend it to anyone.
Before that, because this is something that I encounter quite a bit, people will say, well, they don't believe in the paranormal. But if you've never had a paranormal experience, how can you believe in it? Because it's never happened to you. So before then, you really hadn't had anything happen. Did the incident at your dad's happen before or after that?
That happened before.
Okay.
That was several years before that, when that happened. Basically, I was just working on my dad's house that he had bought. And because, to make it a shorter story, if you do a lot of the work yourself, you get a better break on the pricing of the house in that. And it was a new home that was built. And so I was doing the floor tile and the wall tile and the bathroom and the kitchen and in the basement. So it would be cheaper on my dad. Again, I was working all day long, laying tile, floor tile, working with my uncles, and I'd come home at night and I would work on the tiles in the house there, take a room at a time and set it up, clean it up, measure it off and mark it off, and then lay the emulsion down before I would put the full tiles down, and then go around and cut them in the cold cuts, and then later do the hot cuts on them. So I just working them down room at a time. And then when it get late, sometimes I'd just be tired. I didn't want to drive back home, and I would just go and sleep in the basement. He had a couch in the basement there, and I would go down there and lay on that couch and sleep. And this one occasion when I lay down there and I'm sleeping, again, something woke me up. What exactly? I don't know. Something woke me up, and when I look up, I'm looking right into a kind of a ball of light, is what it looked like, and it was kind of light shining out of it and stuff, and it was moving around a little bit in the room, but I'm looking at it, and I find that now again I'm cold and I can't move my body. All I'm moving is my eyes. And I see this this light. It's just moving around a little bit in there, but I'm staring at it. And for the long, it seemed like the longest time, I laid there and I couldn't move anything. Then again, after a while, that light just kind of slowly dimmed and went out and was gone. And once it was gone, then I was able to move my body, and then jumped up and went running around the room to see what the heck was going on and what that was. That the light's on, and looked all over the house, and I don't know what this is, but I decided I didn't want to stay. So I did the chicken game again, and I headed out and went back to home.
I would do the same thing, just so you know. I can't sleep here, because all I would do if I was going to attempt to sleep there again would be lay there and go, is it going to happen again? Is it going to happen again? If I fall asleep and I'm going to wake up to that again?
Yeah. So because it's scary.
It's very scary. And that's is it a paranormal thing? Is it like, what is the, is it like some orb you were watching? I don't know.
Yeah, and I don't know which scared me the more. The fact that this thing was there in the house, but the other part is I couldn't move.
Yeah.
That scared me. I couldn't move anything. And I'm looking at this thing and it's just, I couldn't take my eyes off of it, but I was just laying there and I couldn't move any part of my body. And people can say, you're having a nightmare or something. That was no nightmare, because I was awake and I could see everything around me. And when I finally got to where I could move, it didn't take me long to jump off that couch and start checking that house, because I knew something was strange. Something strange had happened.
Had anything happened to anybody else in that house, or just that one thing?
To my knowledge, no one's ever said anything to me about having any kind of episode in there. And then I didn't really tell anybody about that back then. It probably thought I was crazy.
Exactly. Because you do run that risk. Every time you tell someone a story, it's like, all right, Tony, that didn't happen to you. You know, you were imagining things or something. But it is a really terrifying experience to have that happen and not be able to move. And I've heard that a lot from people when they have had some kind of experience, you know, because with sleep paralysis, that'll happen. And it's like you're awake, but you cannot move anything.
Yep. And that's exactly what it was. I was awake.
Now, did that happen with a woman who walked into the room? Were you kind of stuck too?
Yeah, the same. That one's the same kind of scenario. Only a lady there instead of a white light kind of thing. But we were just looking dead in. She was looking right in my eyes. And I'm looking at her. She's looking at me. But my body won't move. And I don't know what this is all about. Until she just turned, walked back out, closed the door behind her. And that's when I was able to move. And then when I jump up and look, and see her, she's down in the kitchen, turning into the kitchen. And when I looked, there's nothing in the kitchen. And that put some shivers down my spine, too.
And to find out that someone had been murdered in that room, right?
Yep. Yep.
That's kind of all you need to know, really. Because yep. It does seem to be, you know, when someone's murdered in that room and multiple people are seeing the same thing.
Yeah, a lot of people saw that, evidently, from what that owner of the apartment building said. That's also the fact that they never caught whoever killed the woman.
So how could you, and I've brought this up several times, if you were murdered and no one ever paid for it, no one was ever caught, how could you ever rest in peace? I don't think you could. There's a huge injustice, and no one ever was going to find out what happened.
I would agree with you on that. I've heard that a lot of the times when people see things that are like from a spirit world, or I guess is a, you know, as good a way to put it as any, it seems like it's when there's been a violent episode or a violent murder of some kind, and it kind of sounds like that person or that soul, that spirit, is not able to rest and is left in limbo because no one ever found out that they what had been done to them, and no one's ever been found guilty of doing anything to them. Yeah. So they're just not able to rest.
No one's ever going to pay for that. Would you consider, before the experience, you were skeptical, or did you believe in the paranormal? And how did you feel after the things that happened?
You know, being honest, I don't think I really gave it much of a thought one way or the other. Never thought, is it real, not real? I never thought one way or the other about it. Just whatever happens, happens. But, and, you know, after these occurrences, I realized, you know, that there's things out there that we can't explain. And I definitely can't explain those scenarios that I was involved in. So.
But now in your life, you don't live in a haunted house. Everything's kind of back to normal. I'm going to guess you'd be like me. If you were living in a haunted house, you'd be selling the house and moving.
Yep, absolutely.
Because when I bought this house at the closing, I pulled the girl aside who was selling it, and I'm like, this is going to sound crazy, but is the house haunted? She looked at me, and she says, no. She said, that house has a wonderful energy to it, and you will live there and be very happy. And I'm like, that's all I wanted to hear. Thank you very much.
There you go.
Because I don't know what I'd have done if she'd have said, yes, it's haunted. Because there I am at the closing. I'm like, would I have said, I changed my mind, see you later. But I had a good feeling about the house, but I just needed to hear it from her. And so I bought the house, and I'm glad I did. I really love it.
Yeah, well, that's a great thing.
Yes. Well, the book is called Moonshine Music and Ghosts. Now, I found it on Kindle. On Amazon. I just downloaded it to my Kindle. Super easy to do. And everyone can do the same. Tony, just congratulations on the book. And thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me today. I really appreciate it.
I enjoyed talking with you. It was really great.
And that wraps up our conversation with Tony Brooks about his book, Moonshine Music and Ghosts, available on Amazon. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and advance episodes, everything commercial free, become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts, where you can try it for 3 days free, or go to patreon.com/thegravetalks and find everything there. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us here at The Grave Talks, thank you very much for listening.